This podcast is brought to you by Upcase. Improve your development skills by completing coding exercises that are peer-reviewed by real humans. Learn more at upcase.com.
Giant robot smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. My name is Ben Orenstein, and I'm here today with Adam and Jared of The Changelog. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Ben.
Thanks for having us.
How's it going?
I'm excited, man. Giant robots smashing into other giant robots. Huge fan. Huge fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. There's a lot of motion and a lot of smashing, and we're going to get into it.
Let's do it.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about Beyond Code.
Sweet.
So what is Beyond Code?
Beyond Code is a brief interview series that we started kind of like an itch. You know, we've been a podcast for a long time. Like, we've been on the air since 2009, so we're not new to like creating interview-based stuff or talking to people in the community and kind of getting a heartbeat and telling stories. So that's not new for us. But we decided to get into video in 2014. And we thought, let's start with going to conferences and meeting people there and kind of documenting and telling stories from that point. But we got this idea for this brief interview series called Beyond Code that we thought could be pretty interesting to do only at conferences after parties. So Think of it like this. Like, you go to a conference, you know, you're pretty tense whenever you're like walking the hallways because you kind of like, you want to see your hero, or you see your hero and you're not sure if you should go talk to your hero or your fellow comrades or whatever. Like, you're thinking like, I don't want to talk to the changelog then. I'd rather talk to the changelog at the after party once I've had maybe a drink or at least gotten time to mellow and chill or had a, you know, some dinner or whatever. So it's sort of a time to catch people when they're most share worthy, when they can share as much as they can about who they are. And we ask them five questions so that everybody gets asked the same five questions. And we have like maybe 15, 20 interviews per conference, and we treat every conference as a season. And so we just launched season one, which we've actually got four seasons recorded. And season one was at Keep Ruby Weird back last year in August.
Who ran that?
October.
Sounds like a cool conference.
Caleb Thompson,
all the losers.
Terrence Lee.
Those are my coworkers. Just to be clear.
Yeah, thought
all of them. Are?
Well, not all of them, but it was
a couple of them.
I believe it was heavily Thoughtbot.
It was
inspired or something. I think we were pretty deeply involved.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Caleb Thompson works at Thoughtbot.
I thought he worked at Heroku.
No, that's.
I thought they all worked at Heroku.
It was like half Terrence and half. Does. Yeah, it was like half Heroku people, half Thoughtbot people.
Cool. Sounds like a good time.
It was a good time.
Well, you know who was there then.
Yeah. So that's an interesting idea. I've been really getting into The Moth recently, which is like sort of a similar thing where you have just normal people telling stories and opening up and sharing things, and a little different. But I've really been I've been listening to it and reading it and attending the events, and I'm super into like having stories from the common person now. So I love this idea of just capturing people, and I think this I love your twist of waiting till like the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think environment is so huge in getting people to open up and be honest and share things.
We get some really interesting responses in the evenings. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, I think part of the conceit, and we're going to kind of blow it now because people can watch it and see the questions. But, you know, the questions are unique and kind of they make you think. And because people haven't heard them ever, a lot of the best responses are kind of before they start to answer. It's kind of that moment of, oh, man. Like, how do I handle this on the spot?
Wow.
And so you really kind of see people myself? In their essence to a certain degree, just handling and having to deal with answering off the cuff.
I think of it like you get this authentic glimpse into the real people behind the community. And Jared, you said it best. We were recently on a couple podcasts recently talking about this, this very thing, Beyond Code. And it's been like very interesting to see from one conference to another what kind of resolves from that, what everybody finds in unison about what's influencing them and who their heroes are and stuff.
I love,
or what they tell themselves from back in the day.
Yeah, just going back a second, I love what you said about that moment before they answered the question. That's so great. Like, as an interviewer, I love to shoot for that, like a response to the question that's about the question and not about their response to it. Like, oh wow, that's kind of like, what do I think about that?
Yeah,
I love that moment.
And the bad thing about a podcast is you can't get a visual of it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, totally. We're both, you know, Adam and I are both interviewers as well. So, you know, from the interviewers, here we are, three interviewers talking to each other. But yeah. I'm trying to start asking you questions, Ben. But
yeah, go ahead.
So have you ever thought about doing The Moth? Like going up and giving your story?
I would love to. If I found one that had a theme that I had a good story for, yeah, I'd be super into it. I actually went and I had a crazy experience where I judged one recently. So judges are picked at random from the audience, and we just happen to get asked.
Uh-huh.
So I got to do a moth event as a judge, which is super interesting because the audience tends to often disagree with your ratings and whatnot.
Right.
And it takes a lot of...
Is it like a 1 to 10 scale, or how does it work?
So it's, yeah, so after every story, there's an MC that sort of fills time for a little bit. And then you deliberate with your team or with your co-judges. I had two other friends with me, and so we would figure out a score. And then you do a 1 to 10 with a 10 with a decimal place. Like it's like a 7.3 okay. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because it's actually really hard to do judging fairly because people in the latter half you have to sort of figure out what your scale is. So the first person goes up and you decide, okay, that felt to me like a 7.4. And you have to then do everything after that relative to that first person to make it fair.
I see.
You can't realize, oh, actually, you know what? That person was way better than I thought they were. Therefore, that was actually more like an 8. And so future people, this is very tough. And people, no one is doing it as a professional judge yeah. or has experience generally. So there were other groups. So we got some boos from the audience because we started off with our scores were lower than theirs. But what we found is as the competition went on, it became clear that there were much better people going. And so we had space to go up, and other judges had gone way up really early on. So it's like, okay, their first score out was like a 9.3.
Mm.
And then someone who was way better came out. They're like, well, that was a 9.8. And then someone that was better than that came out. It's like, well, yeah. where do you go? So
that's
I was pretty pleased with our score spread at the end of it.
So that's like a whole behind the scenes that they don't ever reveal on the podcast. You just hear the stories. I didn't know there was even – so people win, basically?
People win, yeah, exactly. So they're competitions.
Cool.
And they had like different levels of it. So the one I was at actually was people had already won like a local story slam. This was called a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different graduations.
Right on. So yeah. what I was saying about being interviewers is we kind of, you know, our job is to, you know, highlight the guest, highlight the person who's being spoken to. And so
right.
you want as a reaction is like, you want to ask good questions and you want to ask the questions that you wish would be asking if you weren't being the interviewer, right? If you were listening. And so I revel in the moments where somebody says, oh man, that's a good question. You know, I was like, oh, thanks. You know, like I'm doing my job well. Every
totally.
Once in a while, I'll throw up a meatball? What's the term?
Airball.
No, not airball. It's where they can hit a grand slam easily.
Softball.
Softball. Oh, yeah, I'll throw up a softball. Where like the answer is obvious. And then I'm just like, oh, duh, shouldn't ask that. So the cool
perfectly.
Thing about Beyond Code is we have the questions that have resonated really well
mm-hmm.
with the interviewees. And so it's fun. We don't have to think. We just ask the exact same questions, sit back there and just watch the reactions. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So I don't want to spoil them, but do you want to share maybe one of them just so we can get a flavor of it?
Okay. You want to do it, Adam?
Well, the first question we ask is, who is your programming hero?
Hmm.
And what's interesting about that one is it tells not just who was the most influential person to them, but sometimes like people go back in academia or they'll go back to like their mom or dad or someone that was early on influential, not just like a programmer,
right. mm-hmm.
somebody who was just really like instrumental in their development as a software developer. And I think that one's kind of interesting because sometimes you get like the one word answer and then Jared and I are behind the scenes. We're like, tell us why, right. you know,
mm-hmm.
like off camera because we're voiceless in the way the production's done.
Mm-hmm.
So the interviewing is a voiceless interview. You know,
mm-hmm.
Although we've teetered on the idea of whether or not we should put our voices in it, but we kind of make some cameos here and there, but pretty much it's mostly voiceless
mm-hmm.
and it's all focused on the guests, like Jared was saying with interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that question's a pretty interesting one because everyone's got a very unique answer to it. Some have bias against having heroes or what heroes are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you kind of get this wide, diverse response based on the community,
uh-huh.
you know, based on who is in the community. And so I think that's really interesting when you're running a conference. It's like, not only am I running a conference because I'm interested in Ruby or JavaScript or Go, I'm also interested in this community, the people that is behind this software.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think what we do with this series is we really get a chance to see the people behind it. And that's what that one question does. And there's a couple other questions yeah. that are pretty interesting, but
that question actually comes right off our show. So we have, you know, on the podcast, we always close with our closing questions. which are kind of a rotating group of about five questions. And who's your programming hero is always one that we ask almost every single week to our guest at the end of the show. And the fun secret behind that one is it's a great way to source new guests for your upcoming shows as well. Because you find out who the heroes are of the people that you're interested in, and usually they're pretty interesting people.
That is a great... So I always ask, or as of recently, I ask our guests at the end of the show, like, hey, who should we have on that you know? Mm-hmm. But I like the hero tweak on it, because it's like, then it's sort of, who's amazing that we should have on that you know, I guess. Yeah. It's sort of built into that.
Right.
Who inspires you that we should have on?
And that question's timeless. I mean, it doesn't really, it transcends communities and the time, whereas, you know, so many things in our world are so time-centric. You know, what was in 6 months ago is out now. So we have some timeless questions, and then we also have some questions which really do kind of reflect the, you know, the fact that this was a Ruby community at the end of 2014. So one of those questions is, you know, what's the most exciting thing in software right now? And so that's a one that you get a huge array of responses to that, but you get, but it's flavored by the time and the community. And so it's kind of fun to watch those answers start to change as you move from kind of group to group. It's really, really kind of interesting.
Is this secretly just a way to get you to give you an excuse to attend fun conferences and call it work?
Pretty much.
Yeah. How'd you find that out? Yeah.
Because I've been doing that for years.
Well, it's a, you know, honestly, it's a really good business plan for us, because our main mission at the Changelog is to grow our podcast listenership. Mm-hmm. So everything we do is ultimately based on either growing a couple of different metrics, and one is podcast listenership. So we figure if we go to conferences, one, it gives us a reason to do fun, expense-based, business-based things that we can go and meet people, and it's a business expense.
Right. Give away shirts and whatnot.
Yeah, give away t-shirts, do all sorts of fun stuff, meet the actual people who care about our show and come up to us and be like, hey, man, I listen to your show all the time, or wow, I just found your show, and I've gone through the whole backlog already. And we're like, really? 180 some shows you've gone through? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's 180 hours. But yeah, it gives us a reason to go to conferences. It gives us a reason to meet people, and it gives us a reason to just make new partners in the future of software development. People who care about the show, people who care about what we're doing with Changelog Films, with Beyond Code. It gives us a chance to really just show who we are and get to meet a bunch of people too.
Mm-hmm. Have you cut anybody that you interviewed and then afterwards said, yeah, that wasn't that great. We're not going to put that one out there.
I think we've only cut one interview from the first season, and it wasn't because of the quality of the guest. It was because of, we had this obnoxious song letting us know that it was the evening was done. Yeah. And the song was
Closing time.
Yeah.
And the guy
and
played
it was
on,
playing
on
repeat over and over loud. Yeah. Oh, it was horrible.
So
it ruined our audio.
Because we're on site, you know, we have to deal with, and at the after party, we have to deal with all of the circumstances that come alongside that. So it's great for certain reasons, and then it can backfire as well.
Yeah, totally.
The only bad part I would say about the after party for us is that it's time, right? Like, if no one comes to the after party, if it's not interesting enough, so if a conference doesn't do a good job of making the after party a thing, not so much obligatory, but like, hey, you should really come to this. It's not mandatory, but it is fun. It's where we extend the community. It's where we extend the hallways. And then the fact that usually it's about a 2-hour to 3-hour window that we have to do our job, which is set up basically a breakdown travel worthy film set.
Yeah.
You know, lights, camera, mic, you know, all that stuff. And we tweak the lighting, we tweak the mic, we have a boom microphone. Like, it takes probably a good 45 minutes to an hour just to make sure it's solid for production. So we got to get there early. And usually before that, we were already at the conference doing video there too, shooting highlight reels or, you know, different things that we're doing for the actual conference themselves. So it's a lot of work. And then we got to do all this in like a 2-3 hour window. And then we also have to break down, you know, inhibitions of like, do I really want to be on camera?
Right.
Am I that interesting? Am I that cool? And it's like, well, no, that's not the point. Like, we want everyone who comes here to feel welcome.
Mm.
Like, this is everyone's welcome here. I don't care if you've shipped anything ever. Like, we want to hear your software development story. Like, are you just breaking in? What's interesting to you? Are you, you know, a neckbeard like Jared says sometimes? You know, then share your Neckbeard Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think at Space City JS, which was that the second one that we did this spring, it was highly attended by Code School grads. Not, which school was it, Adam? The Iron Yard. And so there's a lot of people who they literally had just graduated, like, was it the day before or something like that? And so we're interviewing them. And so they have very much had, you know, the typical imposter syndrome of like, you don't want to have me on. And it's like, no, we really do want to have you on. Mm-hmm. So we had to do a lot of that kind of work as well. But those interviews turned out great. I mean, their insights are just as useful as anybody else's.
Oh, man.
Totally.
Even more sometimes, I would say.
I find it kind of shocking how much people that are new to the industry will discount their own experiences and skills.
Yes.
And I know that's totally normal, but like, it's like, you've just spent probably 1,000 hours working on this. Like, you know more than you think you know. You have things to share and to say and to teach.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a shame people feel that way. And I think that's what we love most about doing this show in particular, because we do, obviously we want to have, you know, some of the speakers come up and give an interview, because that's always interesting too. But we really want to encourage those who feel like they're imposters to come up and not be an imposter, because we get some of the most unique, genuine answers about who their heroes are, what they want to go back in the history of their life and tell themselves about programming, or, you know, what's interesting in software today is a really unique perspective from all these different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I like the way you shoot these videos too. It's like it's a face. It's like black background, lit up pretty brightly, pretty, it's intimate, as if you were standing really close to someone and have like a really intense conversation with them.
Well, the idea behind the cinematography of it was to make it feel like as if you went to the conference or you were there having that conversation with them. And it's like, yeah, it's to focus on the person. Now, personally, I appreciate and thank you, Ben, for saying you like the video.
Uh-huh.
I will tell everyone that season one was our worst looking. So we've only gotten better since then, which could be a good thing because we've learned a lot about video. We've learned a lot about lighting.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned a lot that you don't light somebody super bright in the face. I remember, Jerry, when you were at the stand and you're like, dude, it's way too bright. And I'm like, no, it needs to be bright, man. It needs to be bright. It's as bright as it can. And I'm like an idiot when it comes to
lighting. We're very much cutting our teeth on the Keeper Reward crowd. So
yeah, the depth of field was super shallow. So you can actually see the people when they move. They kind of like move in and out of focus a little bit because the depth of field was so shallow. So we've learned a lot about aperture. We've learned a lot about lighting. We've learned a lot about just a lot about everything. So it's been a labor and an adventure for us as well when it comes to learning how to shoot video and do what we do.
Have you are you familiar with the Wistia people?
Yeah, I love Wistia.
Their blog is amazing for stuff like that.
Oh man, they've taught me so much about video and marketing and they're like my hidden secret. I love Wistia. We actually use Wistia. We're on their $100 plan because we love them.
Yeah,
we love that.
We use them as well.
Actually, metrics and stuff.
They're local to Boston. They're in Cambridge, I believe now.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I actually had them in to the podcast, Brendan and Chris. So you can hear them on Giant Robots.
Awesome.
Wow.
Or you should have them on your podcast. They're great. They speak really well about their business and all that.
Yeah, we love Wistia. I think their blog and their resources, they just do so much to
educate.
In a good way, they break down the topics that you need to know as a budding filmmaker, so to speak. For everything from audio to lighting to the camera to the gear you should get and the whys and the hows. And if you're hiring somebody in-house, what kind of person that should be, you know, in terms of like a videographer or whatever. And I think that the future in video for businesses is bright. And I feel like one of the reasons we also did this was to establish some new alternate revenue routes. So as a sustainable or a desire to be sustainable podcast, I'm full-time, Jared's part-time right now. You know, we wanted to find ways we can sustainably grow ourselves, enjoy what we're doing, make it a lifestyle business, and, you know, grow around a community, serve a community. And this was one other way we've found to do something interesting for the community, but also make a little bit of money along the way. And diversify how we can make money in the future from our media business.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome that you are able to do it full time.
Yeah. As of February, stepped away full time doing this. And in retrospect, I would say not because of where I came from, like what I left, but what we've done here and what we've done this year, just super proud of what we've been able to do this year, you know, way more than I expected to do this year. So we've done really well.
That's interesting because I feel like some people jump onto a side project full time and they think it's going to, their productivity will explode, and that doesn't happen for them. Like in some ways, the constraints were helping them prioritize and get things done more efficiently. But it sounds like that hasn't happened for you.
We were there. I mean, we got hit with like just needing more of me, needing more of Jared, you know, in the past when I was working full time.
Yep.
And we didn't just, you know, just jump ship. We did this with a plan. We made sure we had money in the bank. We made sure we had enough money in the bank that it could sustain me for months, not just a couple weeks. So we did it with a smart financial plan. We did it with some knowns going into it. And on that, I was surprised that things took off so well. But I guess when you devote your full-time effort towards something, beautiful things happen if it's already going the right direction. So that was definitely, to me, it was definitely like a response, like this is the right way to go. You know, what you were doing before was really interesting, really, really good. I work for a nonprofit, so I have a really huge heart for helping people in the world, and this nonprofit helped raise funds for other nonprofits. So we really did a lot of fun, interesting work that really had an impact on lives. And so it was hard to step away from that kind of ambitious goal to just run a podcast. And I say just run a podcast, but it's not just running a podcast. It's a lot more than that, which I know you know, Ben. So,
well, I'm a little spoiled in that I have a Tom who does a lot of the stuff that's not just the running the podcast.
Yeah.
And very well. So I'm kind of just the fool that shows up and talks on the mic.
You're living the dream, man.
I am.
Totally living the dream.
I got very lucky. Hey, quick aside, do either of you have any positive experiences with Media Temple?
I love Media Temple.
Yeah?
They're interesting. Yeah, sure.
Well, Adam, it sounds like you already know, in fact, then, that for years, Media Temple's grid service has been the web hosting choice of more designers, developers, and creative professionals than any other platform.
I would definitely say that Media Temple has done a really good job on the design community, which I'm sure they're trying to do with being a part of this show, is to reach out to the developer community with their new virtualized servers and the interesting things they're doing around that front. I think they're making good progress. They got a good product going down.
That's the
grid.
But
they definitely are really well known.
G grid. It's not a cloud. It's a grid.
It's a grid.
Yep.
Yeah. I like being on the grid.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Some people want to get off the grid. This is a grid that you actually want to get on.
There you go.
Yeah.
You want to be part of it. You want to plug into it. You want to connect to it.
Grid hosting, man. That's where it's at right there.
The problem with clouds is they're so ephemeral. Like, how do you plug into a cloud?
They don't have, when you push the plug into it, it just kind of like just goes into the vapor air.
Absolutely.
With the grid, you've actually got, you know.
It's opaque, you know, it's
you got
solid
the plug.
As a rock.
You can put the plug in the grid.
They totally do. And I got to say, their website is beautiful.
Is it?
This, as far as a marketing site, I want it.
Yeah, they do a really good job.
Oh, this is a really nice website.
Yeah. Jared, can you give an improv suggestion to Adam for what he can read the rest of this as? What event just happened to him that's going to cause him emotions?
He just found out that his wife was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Just hypothetical.
There's a special discount for Giant Robot listeners. Use promotional code ROBOT25 for 25% off web hosting. Oh my God, my wife is having a baby. Go to mediatemple.net and enter your promo code. When you sign up, do it now.
I'm not sure I felt the emotion, but you did. You said you were so explicit in the situation that was happening that I felt like
it's
I could
better tell it than felt. I guess. I am so excited right now.
And now, can you do the ad read as if you were in a closet and you were afraid of someone detecting your presence?
Oh yeah, you gotta whisper it, Adam.
For years, Media Temple's grid service has been the web hosting choice. Wait, what was that? That was nobody.
Okay, keep going.
It's been the web choice, the hosting choice of more designers, developers, and creative professionals than any other platform.
Yes, tell me more.
I think it's because a single grid account can host anything. And I mean anything.
Oh my God.
From your portfolio site to 100 different client projects. It's amazing.
You're not very good at
so many. I'm just so excited.
Just the breath.
Are you actually scared or not?
Seriously,
you should
they're
be terrified.
Right.
I think Jared.
They're right.
No, I'll keep going. The grid is ready for anything. Hundreds of servers work together to keep your sites online, even if you suddenly hit the front page. Reddit.com. Is there a special discount?
There is. So
if you listen to this podcast and you use promo code robot25, you get 25% off the web hosting, and you can use that. Shh, hold on.
It's good.
Okay, you're good. If you go to mediatemple.net and enter your promo code on sign up, it'll work. Do it now. As soon as we get out of this closet, I think we should do it.
It's so scary.
Where'd you put the promo code?
I thought you had it.
All right, well.
Well, we could do this all day.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Comedy Bang Bang, which is like an improv comedy podcast. And so
taking your cues.
It's leaking into my life.
I like it.
I couldn't really stay on midway through the role. I had to like morph it into a new role.
Mm.
Like I was somewhat more powerful than the monster outside. I just felt like I can I can handle it.
I could detect that there was a change in
like
your voice.
Actually
I could
trying to scare it.
I was just too excited about the ad. I couldn't care about the monster.
I'm so excited about Media Temple.
When there's 25% off web hosting, how can you? Who could be quiet at a time like this?
It's a grid, man.
Perfect. Well, somehow Tom will make that work. Maybe
you're the best, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, we love you. He's rolling
Tom,
his
come
eyes.
Work for us. Oh wait, no,
hey.
No poaching, Derek.
You can't poach while I'm sitting here.
All right, Tom, let's talk later. Virtually. When Ben's not sitting here. No, I'm just kidding.
God, awful. So rude. So not to like talk shop too much, but I do have a couple like interviewer podcasty questions. One is we're actually at a similar number of episodes. I think you're on 170 something, 172 or one, somewhere around there. And this is 165 for us. And I'm curious, do you ever feel burnt out on doing interviews or the format, or do you feel like you need to make changes to keep it fresh? Mm. Like how do you keep it fresh after hundreds of episodes?
Good question, Ben.
You want that one, Jared? You want me to take that one?
Yeah, it's a good one. This is something.
Well, that was a good question. Ben in the back, he's pumping his fist. He's doing the Arsenio Hall for those who are above 30.
That's my goal.
Yeah, so I mean, keeping it fresh is difficult. I don't think I haven't dealt with personal burnout of doing interviews. I just enjoy it. Like yourself, I'm a full-time software developer. So unlike you, I work in my basement and only interact via Slack and Twitter, you know. So for me, it's an outlet to talk to people who are smarter than me about software and pick their brains. And so I just kind of feel like I'm cheating to a certain degree. So my personal interest in interviewing people is not waning. Now, I haven't been doing it as long as Adam has either. I've been involved since the end of 2012. He's been doing it since 2009. But keeping the show itself fresh is something that we definitely think about. And we've thought about other formats, but we always think about them in the context of a new show. And we always bat around the idea of these new shows because the changelog is very established and it is what it is. And I guess we're a little bit, is tepid the word? I don't know, concerned about changing something that is working so well. So we're always batting around the ideas of brand new shows that we could just test out.
Yeah.
But I don't know, as far as the changelog itself goes, we just, you know, try to find great guests every week and just keep on doing our thing. Adam, can you add to that at all?
I would just say that open source is so wide and so diverse, and it's only gotten much more wide and much more diverse over the last several years, that the constant changes of open source alone
keeps it fresh,
make it interesting to just the format. You know, when it comes to interviewing, I think when you're always exploring the depths of software, whether it's Clojure, whether it's TypeScript, whether it's JavaScript, you know, I mean, you're always going in different nuances. And Jared and I never come to the table, or at least not too often do we ever come to the table as masters in the field. So we always come with this childlike
wonder,
desire to learn more. And I think that sort of bleeds out in us as technologists who just love to learn and love to just tell stories or expose stories or find the story in a story. And I think that's what always just drives us to kind of keep doing it. But, you know, on that note, we love the format of the changelog. We love what we're doing there. We love the interviewing process, but we would be lying if we haven't said that we've thought about other formats. And as Jared said, usually that leads to like a different show or a new show or, you know, diversifying our topic list. But then we're like, well, then that makes the main thing not the main thing. So it sort of fractures our efforts. And it's like, it's this constant battle of, should we diversify and have more shows, or should we just sort of have different shows within a show and keep it all under one sort of umbrella, which I'm kind of leaning towards for a bit in a way to sort of dog food it internally in the show. And like, if it gets successful and people like it, like, hey, let's make this its own show.
Well, I mean, I like what you guys are doing at the Thoughtbot. You have diversified your shows quite a bit. Now you have the Bike Shed, which is a great show, by the way. And I think there's an iOS show as well.
Build Face.
Exactly. So then you have, you know, you're keeping Giant Robots what it is, but now you have these other avenues for different types of conversations, which is great. But you also have, you know, a massive staff and a lot of different people that can do the shows. You know, it's not
Ben's like he scoffed at the massive staff. Maybe he doesn't
feel like that.
Staff.
Well, you have a big team. And so you have these people who can, you know, if you yourself were doing three shows every week, you know, would be tough to handle. But so every time we come up with a new show, it's like, well, let's think about this logistically. And then
who's going to
exactly
do it?
And how it's going to work.
Yeah. And can we keep it consistent? And will we fail at it? You know all these monsters bop their heads up and it's like, yeah, maybe you should hold off on that until it really
clicks.
Really makes it. Now, Beyond Code. Now, that's the example of doing something different.
Right.
I think that's a natural, good fit because we don't go to a conference once a week. You know, our aim is maybe 4 or 6 a year. Mm-hmm. So, it keeps us maybe every couple months with a new episode or a new season of Beyond Code.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gets us going out into the community where it's not like a podcast where you are at home. Like, I'm in my home office, you're at your office, and Jared's at his office. We sort of get out into the community. We get out to meet people. And it freshens things up and it shakes it up a little bit, you know?
And that is nice because the podcast is really one way, basically, right? Like, there's not a lot of interaction going on back and forth, except for the guest and the host.
Right.
And I've said this before, but there's this weird thing where, like, there are thousands of people who will listen to this conversation, and yet I don't think about those people at all, oddly enough, when I'm recording. Like, if you could put all those people around here, like, if I could see them all, I'd be like, wow, we're broadcasting in a stadium or something. And that would be kind of intense and weird or intimidating possibly, but it just feels like we're just having a conversation and it happens to go out later on. And people
that's what I love most about podcasting is that moment. There's like, you can take this 3-person sit down basically and turn it into a multi-listener experience that's shared across years, even depending upon the podcast itself.
Yeah.
And I think it takes an intimate moment that can be, where you let your guard down a little bit. Like, Ben gets us to trust him, so we give him more information, and suddenly it's all public information. Right? That's Ben's goal, right?
Yeah, by the way, we are recording this. I don't know if that was clear or not.
Yeah, it was.
So you touched on podcasts being shared across years. Does that happen? Do you have analytics to see that? Is that true? Do people really engage with that old stuff?
Man.
Yeah, I mean, people, like I said earlier, they'll find our show. And they'll be like, holy crap, you got 170 some episodes of this.
We have a guy in our Slack channel just last night posted his comments on episode 156, was it? Or 153. And so that was last fall that we recorded that. And he's actually gone back and given us pretty good feedback on like all these episodes through the year. So he's just going through the catalog and picking topics that look interesting to him. And he's listening to those shows. And that amazes me. I mean, like you said, I totally forget that people listen. I don't even think about it. And then when somebody comes by and they're like, hey, I love the changelog, I'm like, seriously, there's listeners out there? That's awesome.
People actually, what's even more funny is Jared's getting this now. Whenever we go to conferences, because podcasters have a voice, right, not a visual, people tend to know you based on your voice.
Yep,
and so they'll hear Jared and they'll be like, hey, are you that Jared? He's like,
I did get that.
I'm that Jared.
In an elevator at GopherCon. Some guy's like, hey, Jared. I'm like, hi. And I'm looking for my name tag, wondering how he knew. Like, how'd you know who I was? Like, from your voice. And I'm like, well, that's freaky.
Yeah. That's happened to me twice now. And I can't lie. It is the coolest thing ever.
It is kind of cool.
You're like, yes, I am that Ben.
It'd be cooler for me if I had an awesome voice like Adam's, the mellifluous tones, those dulcet tones of Adam's stack. But nobody likes their own voice. So I'm sure it's
decency. Well, you have the trademark Jared vocal fry.
That's right.
Yeah, you got a thing going on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Your laugh is always funny on the shows, too. It always, your laugh breaks the moment sometimes in a good way.
I inherited a cackle
and
from my mother.
And softens it up.
Yeah. Mm.
But you got to own it.
So one other podcasty question. If you imagine a good friend of yours were starting a podcast, and you could give them only the advice that would fit on a little index card, what would you put on there?
Okay, they're starting a podcast for the first time.
How many words fit on an index card?
I would say the 3 C's, which is, the first one isn't actually a C, it's quality. It's kind of a C.
Okay.
I would say focus on quality, focus on consistency, and focus on community.
Hmm.
And that would be really big. And then I put like a little paragraph beneath that,
yeah,
that kind of dives in further. Like, if you keep the quality of the audio good, like, don't forget that part. Like, I don't want you to become an audiophile by any means, but get the basics down to get a good recording down.
Totally.
Or go to Wistia.com and hit their resources and learn how to do audio.
Mm-hmm.
And then just keep your show consistent. Whatever topic you choose, keep it consistent. Don't break that barrier. Let your audience know, hey, we're going to publish on Fridays, and keep that consistent, mm-hmm, so that they know when you're going to release, mm-hmm, so they can build their lives, yep, around it. They, right, love your show. And then if you focus on community, you know, a lot of great things can happen with community, because you're serving a group of people or a tribe that you're making along the way, and they're only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and become your audience. Hmm. So
what does it mean to serve the community, or to, I mean, in this context?
I think for a podcast, I think that there's ways that you can highlight people, which I think is sort of our, yep, hallmark, is we've gone into the depths of open source. We've talked to the people who are not really well known, or they've got a repo that caught on fire, but they themselves aren't really that well known. And we've brought them in a way to the light of who's out there in the open source world. And people either find whether a technology is interesting or not, or base their decision to go into, let's say, Angular versus Ember, for example. They may make that decision because they listen to two or three of our podcasts that sort of go deep into that subject.
Yep.
And so we serve a community based on, you know, a whole different slew of ways. But the one way is really just kind of giving them the pulse of what's happening. You know, we may not be actually, Jared and I, creating that pulse. We talk to the people that are doing it, but we're good at what we do to bring out the story that's interesting behind all those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think there's other ways you could do community too, which is, you know, Slack room is sort of easy. Mm-hmm. Be actually involved in the community, care about the community. For example, this is like one thing that I think is something we did early on, which is when we made t-shirts, we never got like Gildan. No offense to Gildan, but y'all make bad shirts. We don't buy Gildan shirts. We buy,
this is awkward. Gildan is the sponsor of this episode.
I'm sorry, Gildan.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, we buy nice shirts, and not only do we buy men's shirts, we also buy women's shirts. When we go to conferences, we're not like, well, we only got the unisex version of it. We want to serve the community. So that means loving the people that are part of the community, making sure that we can create a show like Beyond Code, that they're invited there too, that there is no barrier to who can be a part of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to let everybody in the community of open source know that the Changelog cares about open source. We care about the people of open source. So if we can help by promoting a repo or an idea, or creating an editor wars show because people are just wanting Jared to do that so bad, then we're going to do that. You know, that's, you know, you got to get in the trenches and bloody your knuckles and hug some people.
Another way that we do that is with our ping repo, which is just a repository on GitHub, where people, we call it an open inbox, where you can go there and submit things to us. And so some things is like, hey, do you have a cool new project that needs a little love? Like, we're all about shining light on open source, given that small, you know, the little guy who's got something interesting, but there's so much noise out there, or so many bigger players in open source now than there ever have been. Just, you know, when Facebook open sources anything, they're immediately going to be at the top of Hacker News. But maybe this other thing over here is just as interesting or just as valuable, but he just doesn't have a voice, or she doesn't have a voice. So we provide a voice there. Also, our listeners go there and submit show ideas. And so many shows, especially in the last 6 months, have been a direct result of a listener request. Like, hey, I would love to hear about this. In fact, they can just mention somebody who they want to have on. And then we see that as a little bit of a community service, as saying, you wanted to see this show, we put it together for you. Here it is.
Yeah. I'd like to see us doing that more. So, by the way, people listening, if you have a suggestion of someone that we should talk to, please mention Tom, actually. at ThoughtBot Tom. Go right to the source, and he'll make it happen.
There you go. Do you have an open repo where you do this kind of stuff?
We don't have a repo, but I'm realizing we maybe should.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Ping was interesting for us because, you know, ping makes sense, right?
Yeah. No, it's a cool idea. I have an AMA. I've been experimenting with, I do have an AMA.
It's kind of the same idea.
For me personally. Yeah. And that's been a cool experience. So I could see how it would work in general. But that's interesting. So is there anything else that we should cover that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, to recap, the changelog is member supported. We are doing some interesting things in films. So we're not only just going to conferences and doing like highlight videos or daily recap videos or interviews there and kind of getting a pulse of the behind the scenes, but we're also taking a notion from Wistia, and we're working with different engineering teams out there to go in and sort of like documentary style, get a heartbeat of who their engineering team is to make them be able to show off more of who they are, basically. And it kind of is a little bit marketing, a little bit storytelling, but ultimately it's to show off who is who in engineering teams, what they're working with, what kind of environment they are, what kind of culture they have. And in the end, it helps them become more recognizable to their peers, or just be able to show off what they're working on and ultimately attract new engineers to come to the team and stuff like that. So we're doing lots of fun stuff around that. We've been huge fans of Thoughtbot since like forever.
Yeah. Thank you.
I feel like in a way we've kind of grown up with you guys. Oh, because
that's awesome.
I remember when you were like less than 10 people, you know, and now you're at what's your count now?
I think 86 or something.
Yeah, that's a lot. And you're in like multiple countries, and you know, Chad's having a heart attack, you know, because he's like got so much stress.
Can you say the rest of what you're about to say as if you were having a heart attack?
I don't know. I don't know how to have a heart attack. I think I would probably just like grab my arm or something.
Yeah, it's hard to. The visual stuff is real hard for the podcast medium.
Yeah. Well, my face was heart attack mode, but my voice was still totally podcaster.
Such a pro.
I was telling this to I think it was Brian Cardarella of Dockyard. We had him on the podcast earlier this summer, and I've kind of, you know, quietly been following both Thoughtbot and Dockyard to a certain degree, just in terms of technology choices and interest over the years. And now you guys have expanded in such a way that I'm just overwhelmed by the breadth of the technologies that y'all are into over there. It's like your blog is diversified at such a point where inspiring is not the word, because it's more like it feels like you're just crushing everybody under the massive weight of technologies that y'all are.
I mean, the blog is called Giant Robots Smashing Into
But so I feel like it's Giant Robots Smashing Into Me, and I'm like this tiny little robot, like I cannot check out all these technologies.
I'm not sure that's what we're going for, but hey,
that's a really strange compliment.
That was I'm gonna take it as a compliment.
Okay, fair enough.
It was meant as a compliment. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
But relatedly, I would say that your guys' blog shows up in Changelog Weekly quite often, which...
Very often.
Changelog Weekly is a newsletter that we ship every Saturday morning, where it's a editorialized take on what was interesting open source that week. So headlines, links, repos, videos, people who come and post their projects into our ping repo, we'll feature them there. So that's another thing that we've been up to recently that people really seem to enjoy.
Awesome. Cool. Well, guys, it was a pleasure talking shop with you.
Thanks so much for having us on.
The pleasure was all ours.
Yeah, it was great. And nice improv work, Adam.
I try. Yeah. You know, it's been a lot of fun, Ben. I appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Today's show is produced and edited by Tom Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to giantrobots.fm/165. Thanks for listening.